Let me begin with a story about a young man who went off to college. His parents gave him a Bible, and they assured him that if they read the Bible, it would be of great help to him. But later in the semester, he began sending his parents letters asking for money. And the parents would write back telling him to read his Bible, that it's going to be of great help to him. In fact, they sent to him specific chapters and verses that he should read. He would reply and say, "Yo, I'm reading the Bible, but I still need money." And finally, the student came home for Thanksgiving, and his parents confronted him and told him, "We know you have not been reading your Bible." How did they know? Well, the parents had tucked $20 bills in the Bible at specific chapters and verse. And so if he actually read it, he would have found those $20 bills. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the importance of reading and applying God's Word. And you may not find money in the, you know, the pages of the Bible, but you will find great benefit and blessing from reading and applying God's Word. But rather than give you a big theological explanation of why it's important to read and apply God's Word, I thought I would draw upon Scripture and utilize four metaphors that we find for the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit guided these writers to utilize these metaphors. And I think we should understand them and appreciate what God is trying to tell to us through these pictures. Because metaphors are word pictures. Someone had said, one picture is worth 1,000 words, right? Now, a lot of people say, oh, there's a Chinese proverb, it's from Confucius. I actually looked it up, and it's not. People thought people would take it more seriously if it sounded like it came from a Chinese philosopher. But in any case, there is some truth into that, that one picture is worth 1,000 words. And so I believe God is giving us four pictures of the Word of God, and each has something to teach us, to show to us the importance of God's Word. The first one, and you see I have it in your outline with different verses that are there. Number one, it's you need the Word of God because it is like food. It is like food. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation." Now, that phrase, pure spiritual milk, is a little bit vague. Another way it could be translated, in a perhaps even a more literal way, is the way the New American Standard says, "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word." And so it's talking about God's Word. It's talking about that, like newborn babies, we need to long for the pure milk of God's Word. Many of you know that I have now two grandchildren. And so when my daughter had these children, it certainly brought back a lot of memories of when first had my daughter Stephanie. And I never forget the experience of what it was like to have a newborn. And Stephanie was very, very cute during the day. She would coo and smile and all those kinds of things, and you would just say, oh, she's just lovely. But at night, she would turn into a monster, okay? She would cry uncontrollably, and I had the night shift. See, I wanted to give my wife a break. And so I had the night shift, and I would try all kinds of different tricks to try to get her to stop crying. I would hold her, I would rock her, sing to her, change her diapers, do all these different things, and she would still cry. But quickly I realized, I think she's hungry. I think she wants some milk. And so prepared the milk, and meanwhile she's crying away, sort of like a siren, a car alarm at night, you know, just crying away in the middle of the night. And all of a sudden I plug it in and it's quiet, except for the sucking action. You know, she's like gobbling up that milk, all right? And so I think that's the kind of attitude, that's the kind of appetite we need to have for God's word, that we need to like crave, we need to long for God's word. And so as Christians, we need God's word because it helps us to grow. The latter part of this verse is that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Now you may say, well, I'm already a Christian. I know John 3:16. You know, I don't need God's word anymore. I'm saved. But salvation, if you really study it, you recognize that there are actually what's called three tenses of salvation. That you were saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. And so it's talking about the past, the present, and the future. And so salvation is not just something that happened in the past, but something that God is trying to do. There's a thing called sanctification. It's talking about becoming more holy, to become more like Jesus Christ. And so it's not enough to say, oh, I'm a Christian already, I'm saved, you know, I'm going to heaven. No, God wants you to grow, to mature, to become like Jesus Christ. And so Ephesians 4:15 says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And so your salvation is not just a fire insurance policy that you pull out when you, you know, get to the gates of heaven, all right? It's talking about the need, the process of continuing to grow. And so that's why you need the Word of God. It is food for you. A little baby will not be able to grow without food. I'm sure many of us have seen pictures of malnourished children in third world countries. It's because they don't have enough food. And so there are a lot of us who are spiritually malnourished as well, that we don't have enough food and we need God's word. And that's why we're not growing as Christians. And it mentions here the pure milk of the word. And so it's talking about the importance of the word of God itself. Now, we are blessed today because we have lots of books that we can read, Christian books, a lot of great Christian books. There are lots of sermons that we could listen to online, all kinds of different resources that we might have. But I believe that this verse is saying, you know, we need to hunger for the pure milk of the word. That is, it is the unadulterated form, right? Yes, some people can give us insight about God's word, but go back to the primary source of where you get this spiritual truth. There's no substitute for the pure milk of the word. Amy Carmichael, a famous missionary to India, said, never let good books take the place of the Bible. Drink from the well, not from the streams that flow from the well. Now, there's some of us who may have been Christians a long time. And they may think that, well, okay, I've been a Christian. I learned a lot of things in the past. But you know, you're telling me, oh, I should go to Sunday school, for instance. Isn't Sunday school just for little kids? No. Sunday school is a time that people can learn about God's word so that they can grow. Notice it says, be like newborn babes. All right? It doesn't say that we should be newborn babes, but it's, we should learn from newborn babies. You know, I mean, I'm sure Steve and Emily, who just had a newborn baby, will be able to tell you a baby really craves, you know, the milk. And so, we need to have that same type of attitude and aptitude. And if we are older, we need to grow not only from milk, but to solid food. And Hebrews chapter 13 and 14 says, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature. And so the word of God encourages us certainly to have an attitude like a newborn to crave the milk of God's word. But as if you've been a Christian a while, you cannot be satisfied with just milk. You need to go to solid food. Now you may say, what's this solid food kind of stuff? Well, maybe it's parts of the Bible that are harder to understand. Maybe it's talking about those Old Testament prophets or the book of Revelation or things like that. And certainly for many of us, we know the Gospels, we know the letters from Paul. They're much easier to understand and read, but some portions of Scripture we avoid. And so as we grow, and we want to utilize the solid food that comes from God's Word. And so we need to dig into portions of Scripture that perhaps we're not very familiar with. Or it could also mean that we need to get into even familiar Scripture, but go deeper. Go deeper, all right? And so many of us, for instance, have heard sermons on the Great Commission, right? And we say, oh yeah, we heard it before, especially at missions conferences. But, you know, every time I hear a speaker talk about it, I learn some new insights about the Great Commission. And so there are things that we could learn as we dig deeper. In the adult Sunday school today, we have a course on creation. Now you may say, well, didn't we learn that in kindergarten? You know, God created the world. You know, it's pretty easy. I got the concept. But for many of us, we haven't really delved into Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That we haven't really tried to reconcile it with, for instance, what we learned in biology in school. And so it created a lot of doubts in our mind. And so you could just dig into the first chapter in the Bible and gain a lot, and you can get solid food out of it if you spend enough time in it. When you get to be my age, over 50, there's something called a colonoscopy that you're supposed to have every few years. And basically, they put a scope in you to check out your gastrointestinal system, all right? But they don't go to up here, they go the other way, all right? And that sounds kind of like, ugh, you know, right? But I would say that's not the hardest part of the colonoscopy. The hardest part of having a colonoscopy is the preparation. You're not supposed to eat any solid food for a whole day before. You could drink water, you could drink tea, you could have broth, you know, you could have apple juice, but you can't have anything solid for a whole day. And it sounds, oh, you know, okay, one day, no big deal. But if you've gone through it It's not that easy. I remember, you know, taking the, preparing for the colonoscopy. And, oh, okay, I can't have any dinner. Oh, can't have breakfast. Can't have lunch. Can't have dinner. Can't have dessert. Can't have any snacks. Just, you know, liquid stuff. And so by the time I got to the test, the colonoscopy, I was feeling weak. I was feeling like, oh, I'm just going to fall over, all right? And so after the colonoscopy, I went to an all-you-can-eat buffet, all right? Because I was so hungry, you know? I was feeling so weak, and I just needed solid food. Give me some ribs and stuff like that, right? And so we, as Christians, if we've been a Christian a while, we need to graduate, you might say, from milk to solid food, all right? That we need to go from, you know, all the simple things, okay, to maybe the more difficult, more harder to understand portions of God's Word. And it will strengthen us. It will give us vitality in our Christian life. And so you can still survive on a liquid diet, all right? You know, you won't die, right? But you'll be weak. And I think in the same way, there are a lot of us who've been a Christian a while who are just on a kind of liquid diet, you know, just the milk, right? And nothing wrong with milk, but you need to supplement it with solid food. You need to get into deeper into God's Word so that you will be strengthened and be able to continue to grow as a Christian, okay? So the first metaphor that we see is that the Word of God is like food. It's necessary for our growth. And we need to crave it like a newborn baby. The second picture that we see in God's Word for the Word of God is because it is like a sword. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so Paul is talking here about spiritual warfare. He's giving an analogy in looking at a Roman soldier. And certainly in that day, it was very common to see a Roman soldier with his helmet, with his armor, and all those kinds of things. But the most important weapon, a important piece of equipment for the soldier was the sword. And this is, in the Bible, the Word of God has chosen the sword as its metaphor, as its picture, because it is the most powerful thing. And I guess today, if we were to send a soldier to Afghanistan, and, you know, you could have the best boots, the best uniform, you could even give him a bulletproof vest. But if you don't give him a rifle, he's going to be kind of vulnerable out there, right? And so you need to have this powerful weapon. And the Word of God is this powerful weapon. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart." So that passage tells us that the Word of God is even sharper than a sword. That it is, yes, a sword can cut, you know, somebody's flesh and that kind of thing, but the Word of God can cut deeply into somebody's soul and spirit, into their heart. And so we need to utilize the Word of God, not use this like a battering ram and, you know, like a weapon and hitting on somebody, but to know how to utilize God's Word, because we are under constant spiritual attack. And so we need to be able to defend ourselves. We need to counter the attacks of Satan with the truth that is found in God's word. And many of us know that in Matthew chapter 4, it gives us an account of how Jesus was tempted by Satan. And Satan tried to tempt him three different times. In fact, Satan even tried to use God's word to try to get Jesus to do something that was wrong. And every time Jesus didn't like sum up his willpower, right? He quoted scripture. He utilized scripture. And he says three times, "It is written." And he always quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, for a lot of us, you know, we can barely find the book of Deuteronomy. But Jesus, he knew, you know, the book of Deuteronomy. He knew which verse that would apply in the specific temptation that Satan was trying to give to him. And so we need to have skill and experience in God's word. Jesus didn't just, you know, "Oh, well, I'll just quote John 3:16 or something like that, right? I mean, he didn't just throw out a verse at him. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the book of Deuteronomy. He knew which verses were relevant in that particular situation. And so we need to have that type of skill as well. When I was growing up, I grew up in a family of three boys, and I was the middle son. And one of the things that we'd like to do was to fight, all right? I mean, I hate to say it, but boys like to fight. And so, you know, whenever we finish wrapping up the Christmas gifts and things like that, guess what? You have these cardboard tubes that are there, right? And so guess what? We would fight with them. And we would pretend, you know, we were sword fighting. You know, in those days, the swashbuckling hero of that day was Zorro, all right? And so we pretended to be Zorro, and we would hack each other and hit each other and all that kind of thing. And, you know, I was probably the biggest physically, and so usually I won, all right? And I used to think, "Oh, I'm a pretty good sword fighter, you know? I mean, I always win, you know, because..." And then I remember watching the Olympics and talking about watching the fencing event and talking about how these people would practice and, you know, had all these different techniques and things like that. And I'm like, "Oh, I guess I'm not very good at sword fighting. You know, I thought I was good because I was good with these, you know, cardboard tubes, but there's actually a lot more that I can learn, obviously, about sword fighting." And so I think there's a lot of us like that in terms of thinking, "Oh, I know the Bible. You know, I'm a Christian and I can defend myself." But you really don't. And you really need to understand God's word. You need to develop skill in using God's word. And so it comes with certainly understanding God's word. And so today, you know, we're attacked all the time. And so people will tell us, "Oh, you know, the fetus is just a blob of tissue," right? And so do we know? Do we understand? What does God's word teach about that? Or if Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, do we understand, "Oh, they don't even believe Jesus is God," right? And so how would we prove it to them? You know, if someone came to our door and said, "Oh, we don't believe Jesus is God," could we even know where to look in terms of defending our faith? And so we need to have skill. There have been certainly a number of surveys done about people who, about the illiteracy that we have among Christians, particularly in America, of God's Word. And certainly, in one Barna survey, it says 60% of Americans can't name even 5 of the 10 commandments. And the commentator wrote, no wonder people break the 10 commandments all the time. They don't even know what they are, right? Maybe if we took a test, would you be able to name 10, the 10 commandments? Or they did a survey of Americans. 82% said that the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, is a Bible verse. Yeah, a lot of you may say, oh yeah, isn't that in some book in the Bible? That's not in the Bible, okay? But when they did the survey, even among born-again Christians, and I said 82% thought that was in God's, that was a Bible verse, when they asked born-again Christians, the Christians did better by 1%, all right? So we're not too much better. Another Barna survey found that significant number of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife, all right? And so if you don't get that joke, then you probably have other issues too, you know, all right? A survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that over 50% thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife, all right? So again, if you don't get it, you know, it means you need to get into God's Word. That's why you need to go to Sunday school, all right? Especially as adults, you know, that I always tell people either you should be teaching Sunday school or you should be attending Sunday school. And, sometimes we just think that it's just for kids. But we need God's Word because it's like food and it's like a sword. It protects us, all right? It protects us. Thirdly, we need God's Word because it's like a lamp. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay? Now, you can remember when that Psalm 119 was written, this is like back before even Christ existed. And, the whole countryside was, they didn't have lights. They didn't have cars and street lights and electricity and all those kinds of things. Generally, it was dark, and you needed to light, to have a lamp to be able to go anywhere or do anything at night, all right? And I remember back in 2002, I was in New York City and visiting my wife's family. And I happened to be in Chinatown and I was trying to get a haircut. It was just about ready to get a haircut in Chinatown when there was a blackout, all right? And the whole metropolitan New York area was, just lost power. And so the street lights, the traffic lights didn't work. And so finally, in the end, subways didn't work. And it was just pitch dark. You couldn't even see the curb on the street. And first thought I had was, gee, I'm glad that they didn't start cutting my hair yet, But after that, I said, gee, this is awfully dark here, And, you're used to New York City, everything's bright and, everything's booming. I was just, people were even afraid to drive because, again, no traffic lights. And so it was just pitch dark at that time. And so the world is pitch dark. It's spiritually dark out there. And the Word of God is like a lamp. It helps us to navigate this dark world. I grew up in a non-Christian home. I actually grew up very close to Harvard, I grew up 2 blocks from Harvard Divinity School. But I didn't even know what the word divinity meant. It was just, divinity was, that's the place I go ride my bike. That's what I thought. And so I had no concept of God. I knew many of my friends and school classmates were Catholic, and there seemed to be some belief in God. But my parents were basically saying, just study hard, work hard, make a lot of money. That was it. But I thought there was something more. And so I was trying to feel my way around as I was growing up, looking for, who is this God? Is there some purpose to life? Is this life just an accident, or is there some meaning to life? And I did not know. I thought if I would just live a good life, maybe if there's a God, I would go to heaven. And what happened was some neighbors of mine invited my brother and I to go to church, a Baptist church. And that's where I first learned about the Bible. The first time I learned about Jesus, I learned that all of us were sinners before God. But Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for my sins. And so I needed to put my faith and trust in Jesus. And so that was like a light bulb coming on to me, showing to me, oh, I was searching, I was looking, but I couldn't find God. And all of a sudden, as people were preaching the gospel, the word of God, the light came on to me. And I became a Christian, and obviously it changed my life. And one of the desires of my heart is to see others, to turn the light on for them. Because in the Boston area, particularly among Chinese, only 5% are Christian. That means that 95% are in darkness. They don't know anything about God. They never heard the gospel. They don't understand about Jesus. And so that's why I'm involved in ministry, so that I can help some of these people, shed some light, onto the darkness that they're experiencing. And so, and the Word of God continues, and that's not just for salvation, but it helps us certainly as Christians to avoid dangers, hazards that are there, and as we have the lamp of God's word, we recognize, oh, I better not get too close to this because I could just fall over the edge over here. So God's word warns us against certain dangers like sexual temptation, for instance, hypocrisy, all those different kinds of things. We need guidance as Christians. We desire to know, who am I supposed to marry? What kind of job am I supposed to take? And all those kinds of things. And the Word of God doesn't give us the specific answers, but it gives us the principles by which we can be guided by the Holy Spirit. And so the Word of God is valuable to us because it's like a lamp. It helps us in the midst of the darkness. So we've seen that the Word of God is like food. It gives us nourishment to be able to grow. It's a sword. It can help us to defend ourselves against Satan's attacks. And it's like a lamp in the midst of the darkness. But the last one is the Word of God. We need the Word of God because it is like a mirror. James chapter 1. Verses 22 to 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And so I assume all of us this morning, at some point, looked into the mirror. Maybe during the middle of the night, your hair got all messed up and everything else like that. And so probably the first thing that many of us do is go to the bathroom, right? And we begin to look in there and say, ooh, you know, scary, you know, right? I mean, and so you begin to, you know, do what you need to do to fix yourself up and that kind of thing, right? And so a mirror is very useful because it shows to us the way that we really are, you know. It shows us the way that we really are. And there are sometimes we think we're okay. You know, we're okay. But the Word of God will convict us and show to us, oh no, you need to fix this. For instance, when Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, people were, we know that one of the Ten Commandments is you shall not murder, right? And so a lot of the people there thinking, oh, I never murdered anybody. I never killed anybody. But then Jesus said, well, if you hate someone, that's like murder, right? That's like murder. And you murder them in your heart. Or you may say, oh, I never committed adultery with anyone. And you may think you're pretty good. But Jesus said, oh, if you have this lust in your heart, then that also is wrong. And so the Word of God is like a mirror to us. It shows to us the way that we really are. It shows us the areas that we need to address and to fix. And so that's why we need the mirror of God's Word, that it shows to us the flaws, the areas that we need to deal with and fix in our lives. And obviously, if we don't look at it, we won't know it. We won't see it in our lives. Or a lot of us give a very quick glance. You know, maybe, you know, you just run through and just quickly look at yourself in the mirror, you're probably not going to get too much benefit out of it. But if you sit there and read and meditate on God's Word, then God will show it to you the flaws that you need to address in your life. Now, it's not just a matter of reading God's Word. You know, I'm sure many of us have Bibles, multiple copies of the Bible, electronic ones, printed ones, whatever, right? But it's applying God's Word as well. It's taking time, certainly, to read it, but it also means taking time to meditate on it. And sometimes we think meditation is for those Eastern religions, you know. But the Bible talks about meditating on God's Word as well. That we need to take time. We just can't quickie glance, you know. And yeah, there's some benefit from it. But the longer you spend in God's Word, the more benefit that you will have. And I'm not talking about finding $20 bills. I'm talking about, you know, that God will change your life and transform your life and give you power and in your life. And D.L. Moody said, God did not give us the Scriptures to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. That's the purpose of God's Word. And a lot of us, particularly if we're Asian, we think that, oh, it's just like, you know, school. You know, and we can memorize things and get a lot of academic knowledge. But the Bible, again, was not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. And so we need to use the mirror of God's Word to show to us the areas that we need. And so I guess as a final, I purposely use that picture as the final thing, because hopefully through this message, we've been learning about the importance of God's Word, that it's nourishment for us so that, you know, we'll be able to grow. That it's a sword for us to defend ourselves. It's a lamp to us to be able to navigate in the midst of the darkness. And so as we see that in the mirror of God's Word in our lives, we say, oh, I guess I haven't been spending too much time in God's Word. And it's a good thing, I guess, in September that there's lots of changes and new things. We have new schedules, new routines, and things like that. And so I want you to incorporate the priority of God's Word into your life, whether it be having time every day to meditate and read God's word, whether it be going to Sunday school or worship or all these different things, that we can gain the benefits that come from God's word. And I guess if you were looking, how can I get started? Well, I would say maybe the first thing it might be to look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm, and it's actually broken up into 22 parts, 8 verses each. And each section corresponds to the Hebrew alphabet. So you might say it's the ABCs that God wants you to know. Every one of those verses deals with God's word, Psalm 119. And so as you read and meditate and say, I think God thinks the word of God is important. All right. If that's what you should get by reading and meditating on Psalm 119, that you get God's perspective on his word. And he gave us this wonderful gift of his word. We need to utilize it for our daily lives. And there's a person in recent Chinese Christian history named Wang Mingdao. He was an outstanding Chinese Christian leader of the 20th century. He was arrested in 1955 and then again in 1958. And he was held until the very beginning of 1980, a total of 22 years and 10 months. His crime was he was a counter-revolutionary because he had refused to attach his church to the Three Self Church at that time. And so the communists put him into prison for those 22-plus years. And so there was a newspaper reporter who came to him and interviewed him before he died in 1991. And the question that he asked him was, what was the most important thing to him during his time in prison? And Wang Mingdao answered, the word. Simply the word. And so I don't think we're going to get, maybe hopefully we don't get thrown into prison. But if it was so important to this legendary figure, certainly it should be important to each and every one of us. So I guess I encourage you, particularly at this September time when we're having all kinds of new schedules and routines, that the Word of God becomes a priority to you, that you will plan in your schedule daily, weekly, to be able to study and gain the benefits that come from the Word of God. Let's bow together and pray. Father in heaven, we must admit that many of us don't appreciate your word enough, that we don't understand that it is food for us, that we will be weak Christians without your word. We don't understand how powerful the word of God, that it's a sword to us. We don't realize how dark the world is, and so we don't seem to think that we need the lamp of God's word. And then we don't see the word of God as a mirror. We quickly glance at it, but we don't take the time to make the changes that the word of God tells us we need to make. So we pray that for each and every one of us, Lord, that we want to make the Word of God a priority in our lives. Pray that you would help us to recognize that there are a lot of other distractions and things, and maybe even a lot of good things. But the best thing is to prioritize the Word of God in our daily lives so that we'll be able to be blessed and that you will be able to be glorified. Help us, Lord, to make those changes. Help us not to be like the person mentioned in James, where we just, oh yeah, it was a nice sermon, or I heard some interesting points, but we actually do something about it, Lord, because you showed it to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.